The night of Slichus has arrived. I can't say that I'm necessarily ready conceptually yet for Slichus, but life doesn't ask us for the timetable. Life proceeds at its own timetable, and we have to jump on board. It's not stopping for any of us. And with each passing year, the fact that time doesn't stand still for any of us becomes very, very vividly clear. I stopped to think back about things that happened already 50 years ago, and I wasn't a child anymore at that time. I realized the passage of time. It's a time, personally, for a great deal of reflection. It was not an easy year for me personally. I lost last Chalamoid, my eldest brother. So, as Yom Neroim comes again, it's a time of reflection. And with the passage of time, and as we experience life around us, we'll come back to this. We realize the tremendous gift that the Rabbeinu Shalom gives us each day that we're here, each moment that we're here. It's not something that we can take for granted. And this is a very essential part, as I'll show in a moment, of the process of tshuva. The Sforno interprets this part. This week we're going to read Parshas Nitzavim, as we do always the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. And certainly one of the reasons in Parshas Nitzavim, as the Ramban interprets and many other Rishonim, is that we have clearly a parsha of tshuva in this week's parsha. And the Torah tells us, with the unfolding of Jewish history, and will experience its great brochas and its great tragedies. And there you shall reflect. In the midst of that golos, you shall pause to reflect. And the Sforno tells us, his boinim b'chelko ha-soyser. Contemplate, in fact, the contradictions that exist. And examine them carefully. Is lahafchin ha'emes min hasheker. Emes and sheker, the grays in life, black and white, is relatively easy to discern. But most of life comes in all shades of gray. And to discern within the gray what's appropriate and inappropriate is something that is not easy. And he says, if we're willing in the Golos to undertake that process, it was a takir kamorachaktum and akel yisala. And if we stop to reflect back about all the aspects which are inconsistent with each other, b'deyos of a minhag, we'll realize kamorachaktum and akel yisala, b'deyos of a minhag, and particularly in the Golos, how in our practices and our beliefs, we're not 100% consistent with the Rabbeinu Shalom. In fact, rachaktum. And when should this be? This is at the end of the Golos, before we merit redemption. We need to pause to reflect. And the Torah tells us, and then from that reflection should bring us to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. It's Ad Hashem Elokecha. The motivation should be a sincere one, a deeply felt one, which will bring us to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And we shall matter b'kolo g'chol asher anochi mitzavcha hayoyim lo mitzvahs anoshim ulumodo k'mo sh'asita koydom l'chein. Even tshuva and Yom HaNeroim could be done by rote. We could do anything by rote. We can daven by rote. We know how to do very well. We can put ourselves on Shemoneh Esrei, an automatic pilot, and Baruch Hashem, we're quite capable. But even in tshuva, we can go through the Yom and the Roim, and tshuva is also by roots. And the call is v'shaftar al shem, it should be a tshuva, which is tia tshuvosku de lasis v'tzen konecho bovad. Focus truly on the Rebbeinu Shalolah. V'chol levovecho shalot is topic b'zeh, that we should have no doubts. And then the Sforno goes on to tell us how exactly this will take place. The sixth pasuk in this parasha tells us, Umol Hashem Elokecha Zlubavucho Veslubav Zarecho Li'avos Hashem Elokecha. The Rebbeinu Shalom will give us inspiration to come to Avos Hashem, to come to Him B'chol Levavucho, B'chol Nafsh, B'chol Levan Chayecho. And the Sforno tells us what exactly, how will this take place? Yigala Inecha Losser Mikol Tois. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam will give us the wisdom and the insight to rise above any error, ba'arbe b'seichel midiyas emes, which has confused us, kishetishtadel adofko bo, when we'll strive to come close. And how do we strive to come close, the Sforno tells us, both in shetaka tuvo, we should recognize the chesed Hashem, that we are great recipients of. And once we do that, v'teh aveyo behechruch, then the ava will automatically come. Out of recognition of the chesed of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, v'zayas eleman chayecho, this will serve us la'ol me'ad, forever. So this Sforno tells us that what lies really at the heart, at the root of tshuva, and the inspiration that we have to draw from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and he will assist us. But how will it come about? If we focus, in fact, on all the chasodim that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam has done for us, boifen shetaker tshuva, to consider, in fact, all the brachas that we received until this moment from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. As the Ramchal tells us, this will inspire us to serve the Rebbeinu Shel Olam enthusiastically. If a human being has done good for me, if he's been kind to me, so then there's a natural inclination to pay him back in kind, to be there for him when he needs my help. But how can we be there for the Rebbeinu Shel Olam? The way that we are there for people doesn't correspond to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. I can't build him a deck behind his house. I can't give him 2 tickets to Hawaii. I can't give him send him out with his wife to the fanciest restaurant in town. So what can we do for the Rebbeinu Shel Olam? So the Ramchal says the only thing that we can conceivably do for the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is to submit ourselves to his will. That's the only way that we can pay back in kind for the chesed that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam has done for us. And the Sforno tells us that if we undertake this, that through this process we seek to come close to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, then the Rebbeinu Shel Olam himself will give us the clarity, the insight, and the inspiration to be able to do tshuva properly, to understand that which the Rebbeinu Shel Olam wants of us and that which is inappropriate. So it's fascinating that the Sforno defines that Akara Satov, the appreciation of what we have in life, is what can bring us most to cling to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam and thereby merit the special Siyata Dishmaya, which is necessary to do tshuva. And I tell you, the last year has taught me a great deal. You know, many years ago when I was in Eretz Yisrael, and when I was speaking to an elder Rav, Rabbi Shahal B'Shem Tzatzal of the Eidah, so I was describing the shaylas that I have to deal with a kehillah whose members range from 25 to 40 years old. You know, as time went on and I started, to deal with the shaylas that come with 40 to 50, he basically said, good morning, America, you've discovered the world, Life is not as simple as it is between 30 and 40. There are a lot more complexities. And little did I realize, really, till much more recently, how as life goes on, it gets more complex. I've dealt an unbelievable amount with illness this year. People that are ill, chaverim, members, people that I deal with on a regular basis who have very serious health issues. And it's sobering to realize if one wakes up in the morning and basically one is there, all there and relatively healthy, how much hakara satov do we have to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam? That's not something that we can take for granted. And if a person has had a bout of serious illness and he's come back from it, then Allah has kama v'kama. Means he's been in the wrong place, on the wrong end, and yet the Rebbeinu Shel Olam brought him back. What's the Hakoras HaToyuf that we have to have for it? And especially since Ma'avelis Leis Chalamay Sukkos, the appreciation of each day of life, each moment of life, each period of life, have a new sensitivity to it. And in that sensitivity, Rabbi Yisrael, to life, and to the appreciation of the chesed of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, that the Sforno tells us, can lift us towards the Rabbeinu Shel Olam and provide us from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam with the Siyata Dishmaya, to be able to serve the Rabbeinu Shel Olam in an appropriate fashion. And the Balei Musar have taught, it is not easy to appreciate the chesed of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam is sof kol sof, he's abstract. You know, I can't come and say good morning to him and shake his hand. And if we are to come to Hakoras HaToyuf, to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, it has to come by the medium of Hakoras HaToyuf to people. And only through Hakoras HaToyuf to people can we ultimately be makir to appreciate the chesed that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam does for us. And this is something that I've learned from my Rabbeim. Rabbi Yoshua Zatzal taught, Hakoras HaTov, he said, is unlimited. There's no shir to Hakoras HaTov. And he explained even in his most elderly and frail years, and infirm years, that he went out of his way to those that were mischasset for him in life. They put themselves out for him. Yet he said, even though he's paid them back, without any doubts, but if there are further things that he can do for them, Hakoras HaToyuf is no limit, and he still feels duty bound to serve them and do what he can for them. I noted in my thinking in preparing for today's drosha, Hakoras HaToyuf comes at different ends of the spectrum. It comes sometimes for great things which are very significant in a person's life, and it comes for things at times which are very insignificant but nevertheless chasodim. Rav Shach asked one of his grandchildren to travel someplace north in Eretz Yisrael, Chadera, I believe, or maybe further north. And he wanted to participate in a levaya. And he came there, didn't understand. It was some elderly woman had passed away, not particularly distinguished in any regard that he was able to gather at the levaya. And Rav Shach insisted on the levaya, insisted on following the Oron to the Beis HaKfaros through the rain on a rainy and difficult and cold day. And they finally came back to Bnei Brak, and he asked his grandfather, what was this all about? He says, I went away to yeshiva, I was 11 or 12 years old. And circumstances in European yeshivas are not what circumstances are in contemporary yeshivas. He slept at a bench in the Beis Medrash. It was often unheated at night. Food was catch as he can, and often catch as he can't. Clothes, a change of clothes, he had one shirt to his name, he used to wash it. And late at night, so that it would dry, nobody would see him without a shirt. So by the morning, he would have a shirt to put on again. That's all he had to his name. And he said, in that milieu, I almost went home and decided to leave yeshiva. The cold was just getting, at least if I could sleep, I couldn't sleep at night either. And there was this lady, she was an almona, and she brought a couple of bed coverings, a couple of blankets, quilts, and donated them to the yeshiva, and I got one of them. And because of that, I was able to remain in yeshiva. And I achieved what I did in life. Without that quilt, I wouldn't be here today. So we had Hakoras HaToyuf, and this was this Poshita lady that had passed away in a community north of Bnei Brak and Eretz Yisrael. And he went to the Levaya and was Mechabed her. But this was ultimately something which was very significant in his life. Rav Moshe Zatzal displayed Hakoras HaToyuf even in the most insignificant things. In his elder years, he used to go to the East River to do Tashlich. And when he was younger, he went on Yontif. And in his very old elderly years, he went during Aseret Yemei Tshuva. So they wanted to get in a place where it would be convenient and closer to the East River than he can. So the police, they asked the police permission. So the police said they would provide him an escort. And they brought him down to a place on the river which wasn't open to the public. And four police officers came with him. And when he finished Tashlich, there were non-Jews. One of them came over to him and said, Rabbi, my mother told me if I meet elderly people that are religious, of any religion, I should ask them for a blessing. So can I have a blessing from you? So Rav Moshe gave him a bracha out of Hakoras HaToyuf. Once that happened, the other three policemen, also non-Jews, also asked for a bracha. So Rav Moshe gave them a bracha. Then the first one came, and he said he would really like to have a picture together with Rav Moshe, because he'll give it to his mother will be very happy about the picture. So Rav Moshe said that they have to grant him the picture for two reasons. He said it's a matter of kibbutz aim, he's going to honor his mother's request. And secondly, I have a koras atoif to him. They came, they brought me to the East River, they allowed me to say tashlich. Even what's insignificant, very small things, it was all in a day's work. They brought him to the East River, you know. It was probably an easier time for them bringing Rav Moshe to the East River than most of the rest of what they would have to do in New York that day. You know, Rav Moshe was an easy one to get along with, easier than being in the streets in New York. But they went out of their way to assist them. It can't be overlooked. He owes a koras atoif to them. Jews, non-Jews, it makes no difference. If we live with that sensitivity, Rabbi Yisai, then we'll live with the sensitivity to be sensitive to the chesed of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. As the Sforno tells us, if we're sensitive to the chesed of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, we will draw close to him and merit his siyata d'shmaya. May the Rabbeinu Shel Olam grant in the schus of atfilas that we find inspiration, which the slicha should provide, and we utilize this time of the year to clarify, in fact, our own personal approaches to life, and to succeed. And this is Maisius in areas that we've wanted to succeed until now and have yet to succeed. May the Rabbeinu Shel Olam grant us the Siyata Dishmaya, which comes from this appreciation. Aksivach Simatoiva to all of you.